Welcome to Abiding in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "In Christ we live and move and have our being." This program is designed to instill in you that all your needs are met when you put Jesus Christ first in your life. Listen now to the Holy Spirit as a Bible teacher and host, Leisha Cantrell, reveals the Word of God.
There's power in faith, even the very smallest faith. Power of mustard seed faith. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. How vast, how numerous, how complicated are the various events and circumstances which attend our lives, and how fearful our hearts may seem. But if all things as well as all persons are put under Jesus' feet, there cannot be a single circumstance over which he has not supreme control. Everything in providence and everything in grace are alike subject to his disposal. There is not a trial or a temptation, an affliction of body or soul, a loss, a cross, a painful bereavement, a vexation, grief or disappointment, a case, state or condition, which is not put under Jesus' feet. He has sovereign, supreme disposal over all events and circumstances. As possessed of infinite knowledge, he sees them. As possessed of infinite wisdom, he can manage them. And as possessed of infinite power, he can dispose and direct them for our good and his own glory. How much trouble and anxiety should we save ourselves? Could we firmly believe, realize, and act on this? If we could see by the eye of faith that every foe and every fear, every difficulty and perplexity, every trying or painful circumstance, every looked-for or unlooked-for event, every source of care, whether at present or in prospect, are all as put under his feet, at his sovereign disposal. What a load of anxiety and care would be often taken off our shoulders. Psalm 27, 4-5. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. Psalm 27:8. You have said, "Seek my face, inquire for, and require my presence as your vital need." My heart says to you, "Your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for, and require of necessity, and on the authority of your word." Hide not your face far from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, cast me not off, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Although my father and my mother have forsaken me, yet the Lord will take me up, adopt me as his child. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for it and hope for and expect the Lord. Matthew 17:20, Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Mark 11:23-25 tells us of mustard seed faith. So God is telling us that his want to help us is greater than our faith. He will never turn us away. As long as we're turned toward him and exercising our faith, he will always respond and help us, and he will continue to help our faith to grow. But it doesn't have to be big for God to answer your prayer. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Just in proportion in which we believe that God will do just what he has said, is our faith strong or weak? Faith has nothing to do with feelings, with impressions, and probabilities, or with outward appearances. If we desire to couple them with faith, then we are no longer resting on the Word of God, because faith needs nothing of the kind. Faith rests on the naked Word of God. When we take him at his word, the heart is at peace. God delights to exercise faith. First, for blessing in our own souls. In other words, to exercise our faith, to give us trials and tests for the next step, so that we move in faith. And he takes away things, like he says, you cannot serve two masters, because you cannot serve God and mammon. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you will hate the one and love the other. So God brings us to a place continuously to bring us higher in our faith, and we have much more joy and much more life as that happens. But this exercise we shrink from instead of welcoming. We really don't want to make any risks or have any trials. It's painful, but it's worth the journey. When trials come, we should say, my Heavenly Father puts this cup of trial into my hands, that I may have something sweet afterwards. Of course, there are trials that come from the curse due to original sin and from individual sin when one gets out of the will of God and does not return as a prodigal to him. So the problem with drifting, which is what happens when we're not attentive to the Word of God, we're not in prayer as we ought to be, etc., is that we get out of the will of God, and that if we get really out of the will of God, then we're going against God, and that would be sin, to not be yielding to him. And when we get ourselves so stirred up into something that we're going to bring our own solution, then we will plow against his field, and that will be considered, that is considered sin. And from the individual sin, one gets out of the will of God, does not return. It says, as a prodigal to him. So he does want us, if we veer off, find ourselves drifting or whatever, we can come back to God, and he will just receive us and strengthen us and coax us along again. The thief, it says in John 10:10, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance, to the full until it overflows. Trials are the food of faith. Let us leave ourselves in the hands of our Heavenly Father. It is the joy of his heart to do good to all his children. But trials and difficulties are not the only means by which faith is exercised and thereby increased. There is the reading of the Scriptures, that we may by them acquaint ourselves with God as he has revealed himself in his word. Are you able to say from the acquaintance you have made with God that he is a lovely being? In other words, do you dread, or do you just feel that he's a taskmaster? Does it seem distant to you? But he is an affectionate and loving being who wants intimacy with us. He created us for himself, and he likes to take care of us. So you may admire his gentleness and kindness, that you may be able to say how good he is. And what a delight it is to hear the heart of God to do good to his children. Now the nearer we come to this in our innermost souls, the more ready we are to leave ourselves in his hands, satisfied with all his dealings with us, and when the trial comes, we shall see. I will wait and see what good God will do me by it. Assumed he will do it. Thus we shall bear an honorable testimony before the world, and thus we shall strengthen the hands of others. Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of anyone who trusts and hopes in him. Every once in a while you hear someone say, well, God, you know, helps those who help themselves. However, the truth is, God helps those who are quick to admit their need and absolute dependency on him. As long as we think we can somehow work our way into heaven or perform some great deed of our own, we receive very little from the hands of God. And it's true that there is a covenant relationship where we have a role to play, but it is that we live by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We don't assume the responsibility for something, but to act in accordance with his will. And that's the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, then that's what we receive. The scripture says every good gift comes from our Father in heaven, both large and small. Nicodemus had a hard time understanding Jesus' concept of a new birth. As a member of the Sanhedrin, he was highly educated. Still, the only way he could expect to spend eternity with God was to place his childlike faith in Jesus Christ. It was not a matter of intellect, it was a matter of humble faith and grace. So we take time to tell the Savior that we need him more than anything else. We can't just take matters into our own hands and feel like we're justified, because when we start trying to be in control, we start trying to manipulate people and make things happen the way we think that they should, then, of course, we're plowing against God's field and not doing things his way, and he'll have to reckon with us for that. And he has said, I am the door. John 10:7 is a third of seven I am declarations of Jesus recorded only in John's gospel. These I am proclamations point to his unique divine identity and purpose. In this I am statement, Jesus colorfully points out for us the exclusive nature of salvation by saying that he is the door, not a door. Furthermore, Jesus is not our only shepherd who leads us into the sheepfold, but he is the only door by which we may enter and be saved. In other words, he has set ministries into the church, the fivefold ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor. And so he works through his ministers, but he also has said in John 10:9, he is the only door by which we may enter and be saved. He's the only mediator between God and man. Jesus is the only means we have of receiving eternal life, John 3:16. Grace and peace to you. Many people like to get a fast response for prayer requests, so I'm giving you my post office box number so that you can send a letter and make a prayer request, or send a donation that way. Write to Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, P.O. Box 460512, Denver, Colorado 80246. You may also listen to the programs again and download them, as well as find contact information on 670KLTT.com on the weekday program guide. Click on Abiding in Christ Ministries, Leisha Cantrell, and you'll be right there at my website. Thank you for joining me weekly here at Abiding in Christ Ministries for Kingdom, Covenant, and Mediator.